CliffCentral.com.
It is the Guest Comedy Podcast. Am I on? Give me some ears. There we go. It's 9 o'clock. It's Friday the something of October, and it's going to be the Guest Comedy Podcast. And I thought I'd just let you guys know how lonely it is. Give me some music there. This is a song for me, because every single comedian that I booked today decided, fuck you, Dave. We don't want to talk to you. So this song's for me. It's like a shout out to all the comedians that let me down. And what is wrong with you people? We give you like a free platform to talk about your comedy and you just don't pitch. But I also have, I have phone roulette, which I'm just going to scroll through my phone and then phone a few comedians. And then also we have a wrap up of festivals. So this weekend there was something called the Clarence Comedy Festival, first time ever. And then of course there was Rocking the Daisies. Yeah, that's the song we're playing. A couple of things happened. We went to Rocking the Daisies. We managed to fill 4 shows a day. So from Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we did shows 8 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 3 o'clock, and a 5 o'clock show every day. I think that's, after 14 years of doing Rocking the Daisies, that is progress. They still put us in the corner, though. I don't know why. They put the comedy tent right next to like a weird ravey tent, where a guy plugged his violin in and then played music for nobody. But they had this loud, drummy violin dude next to us playing music while we were doing comedy. Put us up near the food, man. Let people have some chow and then listen to a good comedy show. And the cool thing about the comedy is you can relax. There's beanbags. You can chill. It's clever. Festival comedy is smart. People don't really all want to just rock out with their cocks out every hour. Opie Coppie's got a comedy tent. Dusty, Rusty Festival, whatever it's called, had a comedy tent. Don't know why they don't do it anymore, but Rocking the Daisies definitely stuck with it, so that was cool. And then we're going to phone Rabin, who's got news about the Clarence Comedy Festival. Fuck, this is such a sad song. If you are listening to this podcast, you can. I don't mind if you do slit your wrists at this point. All right, first up, I'm going to be giving a call to Brendan Murray. I'm going to stop this fucker from singing. Thank you. You can go. All right, the first one up is Brendan. Is it in? It's not even coming through. So that whole song didn't even work. No, it won't work. Put it in there. It works better on that. Trust me. Trust me, it works. All right, let's put this in here. Is he listening? Brendan, can you hear us?
I'm listening.
Can they hear us? Can the humans hear us? Fantastic, man. Brendan, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks. And you, Dave?
Look at this. Palesa's producing the show. I just want to tell you that she has fingers of magicalness. So you,
ooh.
And I didn't know how the phone thing worked, but it turns out that if I plug the fucking thing in, it works.
Well, that's amazing. I'm just so glad it's a show. When you invited me to a podcast, I thought we were going to be
it's a non-show.
In Paris, and taking casts of our pod.
Oh, remember that time?
Yeah. Oh, that was a great time. We couldn't tell whose balls were who. But yeah,
exactly.
It was
exactly.
Like.
And your voice, crazy. Your voice is deeper. Your voice dropped recently. Was there something? Your balls?
Yes. No. It was. I changed from Stuyvesant Blue to Stuyvesant Red.
Your filter.
That really. Yeah. No, that brought it through.
No, your voice is a Gunston voice. Let's be honest.
Yeah. Well, listen. I prefer Texan Plain.
That's what my grandfather used to smoke.
What? Oh, he died of the throat cancer.
Literally. They called him at the shops. You know when you've got like a real smoking attitude when the Portuguese shop in Parkhurst calls you Mr. Texan.
Wow. Yeah. Listen, then your dad was Mr. Texan.
No, that's grandfather.
Your grandfather.
My dad's got prostate cancer. So yeah, we all dying, the Levinsons.
Well then is he smoking through the little
he
hole
is.
In his penis?
No, my dad put some sort of a radioactive little pellets into his nutsack, which releases slow radioactive vibes to your prostate. Did you know about this?
No, I didn't know about this.
Okay, this is the new thing.
That's how we're going to make superheroes one day.
Well, this is what I said to my dad. I said, wow, you like the Hulk now? He goes, yeah, but like my balls glow in the dark. So he said, now they can see me coming. And I'm like, Dad, you're 74. No one's seen you come for fucking years. I don't know who you're showing your balls to.
Well, listen. Does he have a gym membership?
Not only that, but he probably lives next to a primary school or something. But when you're 74, you can get away with it, I think. I think that's
I think when I'm 74, no one's going to see me coming either. Because from about 65, I'm just going to do it differently. You know, like 65 years of being heterosexual, maybe you missed something out on something. You know
what my real plan is. I don't like talking about this on a podcast because this is a fictional radio show. It's not real. But my real actual plan is to take my retirement annuity from Liberty Life, which when I turn 70 is like R1 million or something stupid. And then I'm going to buy a kilogram of cocaine and put it on the porch and get like a little spoon and just sit on the porch and just eat it.
Just eat it slowly.
Just eat it slowly.
Like a sorbet.
And then go for a walk in my underpants down the road and just people go, oh, there's that crazy guy. Meantime, I'm having the fucking crazy time of my life.
Listen, if I were you, I'd maybe put it in like a Tupperware or something.
Obviously.
Because next thing the wind comes up.
Yeah, there's R1 million gone.
There's R1 million.
It won't be chopped. It'll be a block. You'll have to chop and do it yourself.
Oh, wow.
Jeez, don't think that advanced.
Listen, who's your guy? How do you know how to get a block? Are you going to compress it yourself?
When I'm 74, there'll be some sort of a plan.
I've got a bet with a buddy of mine, because we're both born in 1983.
Jesus.
That in the year of our 83rd birthday, if we're both still alive, then the deal is
I've seen you at comedy festivals. You won't be. I'm just telling you now. I'm not an actuarial scientist, Brendan Murray, but you will not make 83.
But you never know. I could be like the homeless. I could be pickled from the inside out. Unkillable.
You actually start getting younger. No life. Now tell me, people might not know who you are. Do one of your ads that are currently running. Just say the stuff. Just say a punchline. Yeah. Of a voiceover.
I used to be a plastic bottle, but now, thanks to Tuffy, I'm not.
Do the hard sell.
So I do that guy. Then I'm also the guy when I think it's like a Spur ad where they're trying to rip off everyone's getting 2-for-1 Mondays.
Okay.
So a dude comes into a tattoo parlor. I'm the tattooist.
I see.
I'm like, oh, so you want one of these? And then he says, yeah, but I get 2-for-1. And he's like, no, bro.
Not yet.
You can handle the pain. I'm that
cool.
guy.
All right,
I'm
so people guy. Need to know that. No. It's important because podcast-wise, we speak to a lot of people and then people don't really know who they are. Also, are you on Devil's Peak Mountain? Are you in Cape Town?
I'm in Cape Town right now.
Where are you?
At the moment, I'm literally at the bottom of Kloof Street, top of Long Street, where Baitensingel meets Orange and Long meets Kloof.
Kloof meets the hipsters. Kloof.
Yes.
Are you down at Vida?
I got my back to the McDonald's and my penis in the Long Street baths.
No, that's how they like it.
That's exactly how they like it.
Is there a barbershop on your left? Is there a barbershop upstairs?
There is. There is now.
Yes. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And then Marvel's across the road from you.
Yes.
I don't know exactly where you're standing.
Like directly across.
Okay, cool. So, just that, you know what that is? What you've done now is we're going to grow global positioning, comedian global positioning. It's CGPS. So now they know where you are. They know who you are.
Fantastic.
Okay. Can you tell me
have you heard of that new thing that's like supposed to be better than GPS?
Jesus.
Called three words.
Jesus, help me. I'm lost.
Help me, Lord, please. They've basically mapped the whole world and then given each square meter of ground
to a woman,
a different three-word combination.
Oh, my God.
And that's what it is. And they're using it as a new way to, like, deliver stuff.
So there's no satellites involved. It's a land-based
thing. There are no satellites involved. It's all land-based. Because the problem with GPS is, like, Australia moves at about, like, 15 to 20 centimeters a year. So
Australia
after like
moves.
10 years, all your GPS it moves. It's currently on its way.
They're gonna blame the Aboriginal people. You know that, hey?
Yeah. No, that's the thing. They keep trying to keep all those Pacific Islanders out when the entire country is actually slowly drifting north, and eventually they will be part of Papua New Guinea.
Wow.
And then they can't complain anymore.
That's such a weird. Oh. That's an immigration scam. Basically, they're saying this is no longer Australia.
Oh, yeah.
We're actually part of Japan.
Exactly. I think.
No, I would think Australia
term.
Would move away from the world. They'd actually try and. Those guys are fully into going to Mars and fucking that up.
Well,
as well.
That's I think they've probably got a couple of people on the east and west coast with their oars right now trying to paddle the
continent. And then we know exactly who's rowing. But now
they've said, who's doing all the work, Dave.
When the Australians get to Mars, you know, we are the custodians of Mars for the Martian people, and we will look after it for them, although we wiped them out.
We'll wipe them out.
Okay, now Brendan, tell us how you got the gig for Daisies. Although let's go back a bit. Let's go back two years to when I met you. No, let's go back 10 years when I met you.
Let's go back to 10 years when you were booking the Daisies.
Yes,
and I was just a young comedian.
Do you remember young? And now look at you for walk. You know what? You're in my footsteps. You know how fucked your life is.
I'm just waiting for a balloon payment on the bucky to come and screw me. I'll be you.
My balloon payment on my bucky is my nemesis. I look at that thing, I'm like, why? A balloon's a happy thing. You know, when you're a kid, you get a balloon at a party. When you're an adult, you get a fucking balloon payment on your bucky.
Yeah.
And it's not a folding balloon that you can fold into an animal.
No. It's not one of the long ones. It feels like it should be dick-shaped. For the amount of the balloon is doing to you.
But well, you know what's nice? So far, we've chatted about cocaine, our balls being in Prosta Paris. There's a bergie shouting at you now.
Yes, okay. There's plenty of bergies to shout.
Okay, so a few years ago, I was organizing Daisies, and did I pay you guys on time, or did we have a problem with seed?
I think you paid us after it was on time, but it was like a month or two after the event.
I'm apologizing.
And we all knew. But no, we all knew it would be a month or two after the event.
Okay. But you all knew I was taking that money and putting it, I went straight to Grand West and put it all on red.
Oh, yes. Otherwise, we would have got paid the next day.
Exactly. I needed, what I call, I called, I used to call the Daisies comedy organization thing. They used to give me 40,000 Rand and said, we want 20 comedians. I used to take that money. I used it as bridging finance.
Nice. For your next balloon.
Yeah, for my next balloon. I'm like, I'm not paying these comedians. I have to pay my bucky, you fuckers.
Yeah.
All right, so now you are now the organizer?
I'm now the organizer.
What do they call you call yourself? Brendan Murray Incorporated.
I go by Merchants of Mischief, but it's not like a registered company.
Well, it's like M&M.
That's a crazy thing in South Africa. You can just go trading as.
Exactly.
You know, like, I'm Brendan, I'm trading as a Norwegian man.
Well, how do you think I sell beer? I don't have a tax number. It's trading as Dave Brew.
Dave Brew. Yeah. But listen, you came up with that name. That's your intellectual.
Gee, thanks.
That's all yours.
Yeah, it's what everyone's called me for the last 40 years. We do have at Hot Past 9, we have something called Breakfast Beer Tasting. I'm sorry you're not here.
Oh, I wish I could be there. Well, I can see Beer House now. I'm down that end.
Okay, well, then what I call a satellite link. You go into Beer House and order a Devil's Peak First Light Golden Ale.
Okay.
All right, it's Breakfast Beer.
And then we'll taste it together.
We'll taste it together. Tapiso's arrived. You know what I was playing on the radio before we started? I played that song by Eric Carmen, All By Myself. You know, sing it.
Oh yeah,
sing it.
All by myself, don't wanna be all by myself.
Brendan Murray standing in the middle of Kloof Street, and people are giving him money now.
Oh yeah.
Okay, so let's talk business.
Stop, okay? Yes, let's talk business.
Okay, and how many Daisies festivals have you organized?
I have organized now three, the last three. What happened, you were busy organizing it, and then Martin Evans took over from you.
Yeah, Martin Evans literally can't organize a piss-up in a brewery.
Well, listen, let's just say that he did better than the people who came after him, who started booking, like, weird circus acts and, like, the worst comics in town. Like, the worst comics.
Yeah, the people that are friends of theirs. Like, they know. Yeah. Oh, do you know this person? He does comedy.
Yeah, and the thing is, not a lot of people actually go to live comedy in Cape Town compared to how many people go to Rocking the Daisies.
That's right. What was there? Do you have any info on that? How many people went this year?
No, I think they had, like, 22,000 and two
in the down from last year?
No, I think it was slightly up from last year.
And there were some things that happened. A guy drowned.
There were some things that happened. Like last year felt a lot fuller.
Because there was one more guy.
Because there was one more guy. No, because the space for the main stage was compressed by like another 200 meters. So now there was just more space for people to be in.
That's right. So it looks a bit empty.
So there were around about the same amount of people, maybe like 1,000 people more. But then there was a lot more room.
Okay. You know? Sure.
But
so you organize. Yeah, how do you feel about that? Like, do you feel that they're taking away your comedicness by making you an organizer, or are you still stand up?
No, I'm still a stand up, and the only time it takes away my comedicness is when I have to do administration. Okay. And it gets me down.
Invoicing.
Like sending emails. Well, sending emails to 30 comics just to check that they know when they're on. So first you got to call the guys. Are you free? Fine. Yes. Then you email them. Then you send them their contract. Then the contract comes back.
I remember that contract was 7 pages. I didn't know what to do.
2 weeks before the festival, even if they've signed the contract, even if they've read all 7 pages, Dave, they'll still phone you and go, well, actually,
what time is my show?
I've got this other job, or there's a girl I want to knob, or can I rather do Sunday?
Who said that?
Saturday?
Who said the girl knob thing? Gina.
Listen, yes, it was Gina. It was Gina.
Gina, wasn't it?
But it was
and how
Gina,
do you go about getting your lineup?
So I offered him more money, and then he said, cool, he could afford to buy her later.
More
so
money than the girl was offering him.
We were covered. Yes,
I think Gina is a gigolo. I think he does hire his penis out for extramural activities.
Listen, in the right light, I can't tell who looks more like a penis. Gino Fernandez or Pete Sawanga. Like, I think Pete's like the erect penis. And
Gino's
just
the
like
hairy
the
one. The unkempt. Unkempt.
Unkempt.
Unmanscaped penis.
Wow.
So now how do you go about your...
Unkempton Park.
How do you go about getting your lineups? Do you go to comedy shows in Cape Town?
I do go to comedy shows in Cape Town. It starts first of all with the budget, and then I dream big and I try and lock down like my hosts and my headliners from all over the country.
And you just offer them a fee. You say, listen, are you keen? Are you in or out? That's the fee. Take it or leave it.
And I offer them a fee. And
are
then
you, are you a businessman?
Sometimes they
Brendan?
Ask for more money. I'm a terrible businessman, Dave. I'm the worst businessman in the whole world.
You know, when you paid me that money, I went and bought a pair of shoes in Cape Town because I flew in and I had no clothes. So the money you gave me,
you just had no clothes. But you were going back to Joburg, so you needed shoes now.
I couldn't go back to Joburg. I landed from Seychelles and went straight to the airport, from internationals to
straight
local
in.
And came to you. So I bought a jacket and a pair of shoes in Clive Street.
Whoop, whoop. Oh, well, you've got a jacket and a pair of shoes on Clear Street for that amount.
Thank you so much.
You found a bargain. I think one of the funniest payment stories was Skulk Bezadenote. I let him know that I've got his money, and he's like, cool, don't put it in my bank account. Can you give it to me cash?
Oh, my God.
And I said, fine, I've got the cash. He's like, cool, where are you? And I told him I was up on Clear Street. So he cycled there with his little pants, with skinny pants rolled up, and one of those ridiculous jerseys of his with his crazy hair.
What bicycle is he got? He's got one of those hipster green, light green lime bicycles.
It was a bicycle he had borrowed from another drama student. That's how hipster it was. It wasn't even his bicycle.
That's ultimate. That's the ultimate. He never has to use it.
He doesn't need possessions. The possessions come to him.
Imagine there was no possessions. Imagine all the people.
Exactly. All the people living for today.
Yes, tell me.
But I gave him his money, and he says, oh, thank you very much, da, da, da. And he steps outside onto the pavement, and he looks across the road, and he goes, ooh, a thrift shop, goes straight across the street and spent all of his money on more jerseys.
He's obviously making too much money, that boy. But what a talented fucker. Jeepers, he's properly
what
comedy.
A talented kid,
you know when Obelix fell in the soup, in Asterix and Obelix?
Yes.
Obelix had
so
that
strength. So what do you think he fell in?
I'm telling you now.
Do you think he fell in all the jokes they didn't tell because it was apartheid?
Skulk presented it literally, exactly. So he's got a large little, what would you call it, like a plethora, no, an arsenal. He has an arsenal of jokes that he can tell now.
He puts the arse into arsenal.
Yeah, he can tell jokes. He comes across, he's slightly camp, but he's Afrikaans. Yep. But you kind of, all the black community are like, oh man, he's one of those harmless Afrikaners. He's not going to take our land and make us work.
Yes.
So he's just got like, and he's been dipped in comedies. He took to it naturally. Like he just jumped in.
Yeah, he literally, and instead of drowning, he drank the whole pool.
a lot of comedians take a while to establish
water monster.
To establish that amount of rapport with the audience.
But also, I think because Skulk, look, it is an extension of who he is as a human being. But, you know, they South African, Afrikaans people needed that mischievous little guy to represent
that.
Them.
Exactly. So he's like a thin Casper.
Not all Afrikaans people are Steve Hoffmeyer or Francois van Gogh.
Exactly.
You know, some of them are just like a little effeminate. They wear their grandma's jerseys, but they make you laugh with
exactly.
their pedo moustache
exactly.
and their beautiful curly hair.
Pedo moustache, slightly camp jerseys. I mean, a formula. Who could not wear
yeah.
that formula?
He looks like the weatherman on an early gay channel in the 1970s.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
they had so many of those. So many of those channels. Now, listen, how was... Give us a out of 10, give us a little review of just the comedy tent, like how did you, we did Friday, Saturday, Sunday, right?
So we did Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
How many shows on Friday?
Two shows on Friday and one thing called the Dirty Quiz.
Did you run that?
I had to because Paul Snodgrass couldn't be there.
Yes,
His dad was having heart surgery.
Sure, Paul must have been sad that he missed Rocking the Daisies. He's been a stalwart.
Yes. No, he's sad he missed it, but he's also happy that his father is well.
As well. Okay, cool. So you did a dirty quiz, which is all rude words and euphemisms.
It's all rude words. It's basically like at that stage in the day, they still wanted us to do another comedy gig. And I'm like, no, people are too drunk, really, to like enjoy.
So rather
like
have drunk people doing a quiz.
Like a story. No, but if it's a quiz, like, okay, how big's the biggest dick in the world?
Wait, Tabiso's here. I don't know if you know Tabiso. Tabiso Mahlangu.
Tabiso Mahlangu.
Mhlongo. Like, what does it mean?
I don't know.
Tabiso Mhlongo is here with us. Ask us a question from the dirty quiz. We'll answer it now.
Yeah, well, let's do that.
Okay.
Just warning, we are drinking breakfast beer.
Okay. How old is the world's oldest living prostitute?
Is it your mom?
It's not my mum. She's waiting for this other bitch to die.
Oldest living prostitute must be in her 70s, 74. Okay. I'd bang a 74-year-old. That's my limit.
Is that your?
It's probably 87.
87. Tabisa's going with 87. I'm going with 74.
Tabisa is closest. She is 89.
Where does she live?
China. She lives in China, and she sees approximately 14 Johns a week. They're all quite old. They're guys she's been seeing for years. These are like a regular clients.
Regular.
She services 14 old men a week.
I've always wondered why you'd have a regular prostitute. Surely the whole idea is that you see different vaginas. Why would you have the same one?
No, but you see, Dave, some people go to prostitutes because they're lonely. And they're
That's
looking
right.
For
well, let me play my song for you then. All by myself.
Aww.
All right. At least when I wank now, I can think about her. What's her name?
89.
Exactly. I think it's to search world's oldest prostitute.
Okay, well, yeah, my search engine breaks down when I start searching stuff like that. My search engine says, Dave, seriously, come on now.
Is there a porn link on the internet that you haven't clicked?
No, what happens now is Google starts asking me, like when someone asks for a weird request, they Google phones me and says, Dave, I've got a guy here. He needs an Asian schoolgirl who's dressed like a 79-year-old prostitute. I'm like, I got one.
Right, and you're like, well, I just happen to have an Asian schoolgirl tied up in my basement right now.
When Google phones you and asks you for a request, we need three midgets.
Dave.
Yeah, do you have to go?
Belgium has just come online.
We need some midgets. Geez, I'm up all night trying to service these other recruits. Okay, now, so how was comedy in your opinion?
I bet you're up all night. I think it was great. It was really nice to have Conrad Koch there this year. I've been trying to get him to the festival for a little bit. Derek Watts and the Sunday Blues was also amazing to have them. Of course, your fine self hosting two shows.
Sober.
That's how you know I love you.
I kept sober. You know what someone said to me? Like, aren't you too old for Rocking the Daisies to be there? I'm 47. But I thought about it, like, it's a comedy thing. It's about connecting and having people relying on beanbags, just enjoying the stuff. And what I liked about the younger audience is they ooh quite a bit. Like if you say something about Oscar or like the guy at KG mentioned the guy drowning.
Yeah, that's it. They can still be shocked.
They're all still shocked. And I thought young people are totally like free and they're dangly. I call it dangly. Like they look like little octopus is just accepting everything. Like, ooh, that's an interesting concept. I'll accept that concept. Ooh, look at that. But actually, these younger guys are more conservative than my older guys who do my golf days, those 50-year-olds. 50-year-old guys, you say something about Oscar. Like I said, Oscar's knees at the right height without legs is at the right height for blowjobs in the shower in jail.
What?
Yeah.
Because you don't have to drop the soap. He's really at that height.
Yeah.
And they'll go,
but you see, the golf day guys don't really laugh at that because they've heard all the Oscar jokes. They've got their friends sending it to them straight away. These youngsters, they're all trying to be social justice warriors. They're all trying to be PC.
Okay, so you say
so they don't.
A successful Rocking the Daisies comedy tent.
Yes, they hired you again. A roaring success. They hired us again. They'll probably hire us for a fourth time now.
Can you move the tent a little bit closer to the market? Or is it because
why? I want to try and get us a little even further away from the beach bar.
Why were we next to the rave tent with a violin plugged into a sequencer?
Yeah, well, that's another. You see, they said the hemp stage, that one that faced us, would have a smaller rig, yes. And it did.
There were six people doing yoga.
Wanted a smaller rig.
Exactly. So they got one guy playing guitar, and then there were two people just swaying. And it's so loud, and we're just trying to do talky-talky. Just that he can fuck off, man, with your stupid folk music.
Fuck off with your violin.
And then she's eating fire, and he's hula-hooping, and this is a band? Ah, oh, fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, but Brendan...
children pay for that music. Listen, Dave, I'm afraid I have to flee.
Exactly,
I've got a ½-past-9 voiceover.
Ah, you have a voiceover, hey?
Do some
voiceover
right
for us.
I'm standing right outside Milestone Studios right now.
Gallstone.
Yeah, I think this one today is going to be like the Cat S60, built for it. Meow!
Brendan, I don't know what to say. Like, just be cool. And thanks for organizing Rocking the Daisies really well. I think I was happy to see how sober and focused you are. Unless it's that chick you did.
Thank you. Nice big change from last year.
Yes, you have a lovely big change. Thank you, man.
Okay. Cheers, Brendan.
Cheers, Brendan. Thank you. Bye. So that's Brendan Murray, and I'm supposed to go back to Bisa. How are you?
I'm good, Dave. How
and
are
why,
you?
Why are you in the studio today?
In the studio.
Tell us why.
I came to give you back this ridiculous book.
Okay. Let me explain to people. What happens is, have you got some music? Okay, what happens is, everyone that comes here as a guest gets this book that's been signed by every comedian and every person at Cliff Central. And it was a book that was given to Ben Karpinski, I think, first. It's 1,000 quotes on golf or something.
Yeah, 1,000 reasons to love golf.
Oh, man. And it's horrible. The typesetting is in like, it's 15 point. The guy at the back has got one of those pictures standing in his study of all the books that he's published. And now these days, I'm not impressed if you can publish a book.
Yeah.
You're not, because you can't do it. Who's published a book recently?
A lot of people.
No, but our comedian friend, he's got a book. Don Packett's got a book.
I know.
And
Trevor probably has a book.
Trevor's got a book coming out now, but that's proper real. That's part of his contract. You've got to bring out a book.
Oh,
you've got to
go
on the book tour. You've got to go on all the talk shows. But thank
you.
So you literally came back in here to return a book. Okay, talk nicely into the microphone and tell us how your comedy career is going.
It's going great. Yes.
Are you being sarcastic or real?
I'm being for real. It's going
serious,
great.
Seriously, you're getting gigs?
Yes, now I am.
Where did
now,
you go?
I've been all over the place, Dave. Okay, wait. Let me whip up my calendar.
Jeez, when you said let me whip out my...
Yeah.
Why?
I thought it was going to get weird. Dude, I've been everywhere. Why is this mic doing this? Okay, there we go. We got it. Dave.
Just twist it a bit up towards your mouth, the mouth area.
So I sound sexy.
There you go.
There you go.
Oh. Where have you been?
I've been everywhere, dude. I got my first paid gig at the Box. Dude.
Your first paid gig?
Yeah.
You know what I find weird is a lot of comedians use that as a yardstick.
Well, like,
they even tweet about it. My first paid gig was at the Box.
Well, no, not my first paid gig. My
first paid gig at the Box.
At the Box.
But you've been open micing the Box for a while.
Yeah, for ever since day one. I think it was one of the first three places I've played. The first stage actually was Kitcheners, then Parker's,
okay,
and then the Box.
So you had all those things happen. So
yeah,
what I'm going to do is I'm going to unplug this, and then I'm going to plug this in here.
Okay.
And this goes to Chris Forrest, hopefully.
Oh, okay.
Do you know Chris Forrest?
Yes, he was the judge. He was the judge at the final of the Grab the Mic competition,
really?
Which I won.
Chris Forrest was a judge?
Yeah.
Chris, can you hear me?
Hey?
Who says that? Jeepers.
Hello?
What the hell was that? Someone, we got a cross.
I thought I was on hold there.
No, you're not. Someone was shouting, go for it.
Yes. If you really want to know.
Yeah, obviously. Fuck, I got no guests on my podcast. I'm phoning like bottom of the barrel comedian friends here.
Thanks, Dave.
It's a pleasure. Welcome. That's how we welcome all our guests. But
lovely to be here.
I'm thinking, in my head.
Show right where it should be.
Where are you? On the toilet.
Somewhere in between shouting at the Joburg water people.
Okay.
And pulling weeds out of my garden.
Okay, cool.
Yes.
So how are you?
Hi. I'm wonderful.
The guy shouting in the background was like your own personal, like a guy who makes you feel good about yourself. Then he follows you around. So whenever you're feeling down, he just shouts, go for it. You can do it.
No, that was me shouting, go for it, because If you want to know the whole thing, they are trying to get my neighbor's permission to dig up his driveway, but he's not there. He's at work.
I see.
So I was phoning him, and then I was trying to see if he was okay with it, if his tenant was in or not. And then he said he's not going to stop them. He doesn't care.
Jeez, our podcast just went from ecstatic to highly boring now.
Yeah.
But let's talk about homeowners associations. Are you a member of the body corporate?
Well, I'm a member of the Residents Association, the body corporate, which is section or title.
That's very mature.
Yes. I'm a member of a couple of body corporates too. I'm that guy. Oh, man, I got nothing better to do.
I have trouble with body corporates, man. They send me letters. They say they're going to blacklist me for not paying my levy. And I'm saying, well, then come and cut the verge. Cut the grass. Do your job, body corporate.
Do something.
Who's that other voice there in the studio?
Well, let's play Guess the Voice. I won't say who it is, but person sitting opposite me, say some stuff. Say some of your stuff.
I don't know. I won grabbed the mic the other day and you were the judge. He doesn't even remember that.
He doesn't remember who won.
He grabbed the mic the other day. Can I call you back?
Yeah, why not? I'll play a song.
Awesome. Cheers.
So that chased him away.
Chris Forrest. Tabisa says, hi, Chris. And Chris goes, fuck you, I'm leaving.
Yeah. He's like, I'll call you back.
Okay. Well, I'll go back to my song. So, Tabisa, do you want to grab the mic?
Yes.
So do you think that, has it changed anything in your life?
I think just a little bit. But what changed?
In what way?
Like, in terms of how everyone views me now.
Wow.
In terms of comedy and whatnot. So they're kind of like, yes, you are
real.
It is
true. I didn't realize, like, because of doing comedy for 16 years, I don't see it in the eyes of someone who's just starting out. And what you need is that credibility. So if you can put it on your CV, you can put it on a poster, winner of, it's Comedy Central, so it's legit.
Yeah.
If you win the Kempton Park Community Centre open mic competition in your church, you can't put that on your poster.
Yeah.
So you've got a major credibility with Comedy Central there. Have you won the Kempton Park Community Church Centre?
No.
Because I actually won that.
I didn't even know that existed.
And what happened is, any church, I've realized now, has got a sitting audience. They're sitting there on Sunday. They're there at 11 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Thousands of them. Go up and do some open mic, man. Just go hit them hard.
Yeah,
the only thing they do is chuck you out.
But you would have said what you wanted to say.
Yeah, you've said your stuff. You're like, thank you. And you literally drop the mic because they got those strong Shure 58s.
I don't know how that'll go down.
Well, they can't do anything to you. The Christians are very passive.
They're supposed to be.
Yeah, you don't see Christian bombings anymore. So now you've got credibility.
Yeah.
So I think maybe that's why you got paid at the box, because they can also put it on there. See, what happens is it's both ways. The promoter wants to say, these are the guys we've got.
Mm.
So when I put on a comedy night, it's so weird. People say to me, who's on? So I go, Tabisa Mhlongazi. I've got Tats and Konza. And they go, who are they? Then you got to say the words. You got to say, well, Tats is a presenter on South Africa Talent.
Yeah.
Tabisa won the open mic and the roast battle. Then they go, okay. Because you can't just say, no, he's just some guy.
Oh.
In the meantime, your comedy hasn't changed. You just got a strong comedy back. Yeah.
Mm.
It's weird. I don't like the credibility thing, but it's a game. You got to play.
It's real. It's actually real. I saw this. It happened. Even after the roast battle.
Have you been offered, as an agent stepped up and said, I'll run your stuff for you? Or would it be a Zulu agent? I will run your stuff.
That's not even a Zulu.
I don't know Zulu accent. Hey.
Zulu accents. Hey. I don't even know
matches.
Proper Zulu accents. Like, but it's like, yeah, kind of, in a way.
Chris Forrest is fighting back. Should we answer?
Yeah. He's got airtime for days.
Just say, Chris, we're busy.
Hello.
Sorry, we can't take your call right now. Please hold. Okay, Gareth Cliff Central podcast. We're very busy, even if you're a famous comedian.
Yes. Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry,
well, welcome back.
A much more important phone call that came through.
But it's nice. The nice thing is, in the show, we have, it's like a proper show. This, Chris, I just want to say, we have
we have ad
breaks and music. Tabisa was telling us about how his life's changed.
I just want to apologize to all four of your listeners.
Okay, cool.
Please
put your phone on speaker so that the guys from Rand Waterboard can also be listening to this shit.
He apologizes too.
Okay, cool. The nice thing after the show is sex talk, so we're basically like the lubricant foreplay for another show. Mm. How are you?
I'm good.
And comedy-wise, have you been doing anything?
Yes, I judge the Grab the Mic competition.
How do they find you as a judge? What is your credentials?
As a judge, I'm willing to go to a place and rate comedians in exchange for a small offering of alcohol and food.
So you, as a judge, you don't even get paid?
You don't get paid, no. It has to be 100%. I've actually done it for the last 3 years.
Okay, so you also, what happens then is you also get to see a lot of the new acts, am I right? Because you do run a bit of an agency as well.
This is true.
So it's not all just fun and games and free beer.
Yeah, and normally the one who's willing to give out the most sexual favors, he's the winner. So
Tabiso won.
If that was Tabiso in studio with you, then he gives a magic hand job.
But that's when Nina Hastie's judging. Okay.
Well,
and tell me more stuff about your gigs. Well, you did your one man show. That's the last time we spoke to you.
That was a long time ago. It was a long time ago.
August.
Yeah, that was in June, actually.
Jeepers. Time flies. It's
September. Yeah, I know.
October.
I know.
Mendoza died.
He did. Yeah, he did, but his legacy lives on.
Thank you.
He'll always be the big dog to me.
Okay, now tell me, big dog, what have you got coming up?
I have a beer fest coming up.
Yes, that's what I want. Tabiso and I are drinking breakfast beer. Yeah, we are drinking the first light golden ale from Devil's Peak Brewery. They don't sponsor us. I'm just saying what you're drinking. But what is your thing? I mean, how do you get involved in a beer fest as an organizer?
Well, I like beer and I like festivals. I like simple answers.
Fuck, yeah. That's awesome.
That makes all the sense in the world.
I've always wanted to have a beer fest, and it's our residents' association does certain events, so we decided to do a beer fest. Mostly for anyone else can come as well. In fact, we encourage it.
So we want people to come. When is it? It's on the 29th of October.
29th of October Saturday. At the Rand Park Golf Club.
Okay, and it's the Residents Association in terms of security, putting up walls and fences and making you guys like a fortress so that no one can steal all your cool stuff.
Well, not quite like that. You're actually not allowed to do that.
We're building an 18-foot wall.
Yes, to keep the Mexicans out. So it's called the Trump Wall.
I tell you, a lot of Mexicans are moving to the Randburg area.
Well, they come here and they look at our stuff and they're like, this place is crap, we're out of here.
They're attracted to Republic Road. Okay, so it's on the, what time does it start and who's going to be there? What beers are there? Who's, why? Why did we come?
There's a lot of great beers. There's one crap one. no, so the 29th of October starts at 10 in the morning. It finishes at 6 in the evening at the Rand Park Golf Club. There is park and ride, secure parking. That's all over the neighborhood. And then we've got a whole bunch of different beers on tap. We also have some wines and ciders. Okay. We have two brewery going to be there. We have the Friar Brewery. We have the Something Keg. I should really know this, hey?
No, it's fine. It's not, no pressure. Like you say, four people are listening. But the fact is, you've done it.
Dave Brew is going to be there.
Dave Brew's got a little stall, I know. I paid my deposit to a non... to like a weird bank account in Nigeria.
Yeah.
But I won a lot. So Dave Brew's going to have a tent there and the other guys. I think it's a fabulous thing. That the nice thing about you is you say you're going to do something and you did it. You've now got an established thing.
And it's all wonderful now. And there's going to be some superb German food.
And music, entertainment, live bands or anything?
We're working on it. We've definitely got, an awesome DJ. We're going to have a wonderful host called Chris Forrest.
Okay.
We're looking at an Oompa band.
I like Oompa bands.
We all like Oompa bands. Who doesn't?
You know what the problem is? I'll tell you, be honest now. When you get to the festival, you see the Oompa band, and the first thing you think, like, oh, fuck, look at these losers. And then 15 beers later, you're like requesting songs, dancing with people. Oompa band brings out, it's something to do with the bass chakra or something.
Or the fact that they sound magical when you're drunk.
Tabiso has no idea what an Oompa band is. He's looking at me.
I'm trying
Oompa,
to
Oompa was
Google.
the original gangsters, the proper, like before Kwaito, there was Oompa.
Oh.
Have you ever heard of Oompa Pop?
That is so horrible.
That's an Oompa band that plays pop music.
No, we
like to have you on the show, but we don't know what to say to you now. We've run out of questions. You've got a beer festival. You're doing successfully well. How's your babies?
No, he just hung up.
He just hung up on us. It's fine. Like, no, he hasn't. He's still there.
hang up on you.
No, you're there.
No, I've got an old phone because I'm waiting for a new one. Okay. And then my touchscreen doesn't go off when I'm on a call. And so...
Well, we found out Brendan Murray was on before you. He told us some interesting facts. The oldest prostitute in the world. Guess how old she is?
72.
No, I said that as well. She's 80-something. 86?
Where have you guys been going out? It seems like you guys have a person...
You have a specific person in mind here. Sorry. Let me rephrase the question. The oldest one in the world. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Yeah, then.
Because I think I know exactly the one from the Rock Paradise. That's the same one, eh?
Yeah, the ones who've got gold watches for good service.
Yes, and she had her labia bronzed.
What?
What?
Feels like you're shagging a bag of knickknacks.
Fantastic. Now listen, I've done that. We're going to do a festival roundup. Have you got any comedy festival that you'd like to organise, like a thing that you can get a few guys in a big tent and do something? Have you got something like that up your sleeve?
Do I have that?
Yes.
No, I'm still currently. I was just when I muted you, I was telling you I'm looking for a sponsor for my cooking show.
Oh, you want to do a cooking show?
So if any sponsors are keen,
no one's listening to this shit, bro.
Yeah, well, you never know. There could be that one guy. Hey, listen, like, wow.
This is gonna make
what is your cooking? What's your cooking show premise? Are you going to cook with celebs? Are you going to do something boring? Or are you going to go wild?
It's a live show. It's called Don't Burn Your Sausage. It's how to get laid with food.
Oh, excellent.
Sorry, Chris Forrest and Pete
Stockworth. How do you get a fat chick into bed? Piece of cake. I hate those jokes.
Well, you would know.
You made me do a shit joke. Now, have you got any gigs lined up for us that we can come to? Because I know you do run a few around town, Mozambique.
Mozambique in Krugersdorp on the 26th of October.
And I'm doing one in November.
Yes, you're doing the one on the 30th of November.
Okay, that's
so yeah. When am I doing, man?
Tabisa wants a gig. he wasn't going to. Dave, please
this
focus.
This is awkward.
Don't hesitate.
I just want to say he's missing. Anyway, on the line, we have Brendan Murray.
Love and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you win the roast battle?
Yeah.
The roast battle.
Dave, did you win the roast battle?
Yes.
I did win the roast battle.
Oh, look at you guys, roast battle champions. Mm-hmm. Together.
I reckon how the roast battle works is the same as my podcast. I invite people, they cancel, and whoever comes in is in.
Yeah, whoever makes it, I reckon that made it.
This roast thing, how do you feel about it? I wasn't a fan, obviously, until I won. Now I'm a huge fan. But fuck, I just didn't dig it, man. I didn't like saying, I love the guys. I love Laz. I love Yassine. And I was like, have to say stuff about them that was properly bad.
Yeah.
Jeez.
But true, hey?
No, it was all true.
It has to be true.
Yeah, see, I told him that he did some sort of a suicide joke bomb where he just left and he gone. Took us all with him. Ooh. Anyway, Chris, go look at the water.
Don't look at the water.
No, go and look at the water. Go and see how your water's
doing. Oh, no, it's not for me. It's for my neighbor. Because he doesn't have a bell, so they're shouting over his wall in the hope. Even though there's nobody in the garden or nobody home, in the hope that after like an hour and a half of shouting, somebody would finally go, wait, I didn't hear you for the first hour, but now I hear you.
That's a bit like the Big Lebowski. Let me have a look again if the money's in the toilet. Now listen, do you realize that you got 5 minutes of comedy there from that?
From what?
From what happened to you this morning with the water.
I really didn't.
Didn't you? It's going to become?
No.
You know it's going to become comedy.
Yeah, but that new material thing is so old school. I'm all...
You stick with the ones that work.
Stick with what works, man. Yeah.
I died at a golf day the other day for a trucking company, but died properly, where the people actually... You know when they fold their whole body? You know, I can understand someone folding their arms when you say a shit joke. Mm-hmm. And some people fold their leg away from you. Have you done that, Chris? You can just see they're like, not into this shit. The whole audience folded their entire body. It's like a shongololo that curls up.
What? What were you saying?
Have you got a show? Is there a show there?
Yeah. Well, okay. If I was one of your four listeners, I'd definitely be hiring you for the next show that I put on. If I ever have a golf day, I'd be like, Dave Levinson's the guy.
He's the guy. All right. Then I've got a nice little story about a guy coming to my house and looking over my wall and trying to get me to open the door so he could dig up my driveway.
That's hilarious.
That's very funny. Funny story. Let me tell you a funny story. Are you going to, have you done the Durban Comedy Circuit? Have you been over there to those clubs?
I went once. I did the Mozambique there for Jem, but it was really for the guys from the Mozambique.
Okay.
And
but you must go. Yeah, apparently, it's really good. You'll do almost 7 or 8 nights, and I think they fly you there if you're from Joburg, if you ask them nicely. And it's a really cool setup. I like it. I like the fact that Durban's got something happening.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Cool.
Fuck it.
I'm very convincing.
I'm just.
You know what I like to say? What you really feel? Because here's the thing: I've got a guy doing a Christian comedy festival, and I'm like totally against it, and I just don't know what to say to the guy.
What's his name?
I don't know. I can't say. It's for the colored.
I always worry about, you know, the Christian comics that they talk about boning a chick in the bedroom while her husband's outside, and then they say, "I do Christian comedy because I don't swear." But
that's exactly what I wanted to say. Like, so you don't swear.
It doesn't say thou shalt not say fuck.
Exactly.
It says thou shalt not commit adultery, which is, you know,
I like the fact that the word thou is the first time it's been used on this podcast.
Is it?
Thou wilt use that word against.
do I get some sort of a special placard now?
You do. You get a free beer from Dave Brew.
I've had it. And
I gave you some beers backstage when you did your show. Did you try them?
And do you know what? You only had the sad part.
You gave them away.
I did try them. I was saving them for a special occasion. And then when I eventually drank them was when I was so drunk that I can't remember what they taste like.
Okay, well, that's good. Actually, that's how my beer should be drunk. You must have several other beers before you have mine.
It was the point.
I'm sure they were fabulous.
My beer is called Ex-Girlfriend. You know exactly how she's going to taste.
Oh.
You just sip it down. Chris.
Okay, good.
I don't know what to say to you, man. I love you and I dig your comedy and we need to do some more stuff. We've got to take over. And also, agents. Let's talk about that next time. Why don't you come into the studio next time and have beer?
All these young, funny people there that are getting in the way. So, if Tabitha has an accident on the way out, then that's not the worst thing.
Okay, good.
I'm just putting it out there.
All right, so. I'm with you.
Also, give one of them gigs.
Tabitha's so desperate for a gig.
I'll give you a gig soon, but perhaps not in Krugersdorp.
Ooh, yes. Tabitha goes down well in Krugersdorp. No. On Wednesdays, one of the gardens there.
It's an interesting one.
But listen,
you know what
I
tell young comics? They say, have you got advice? I say, if you can't get gigs, find a little club or spot, find 6 of your friends, get a little speaker and a microphone and start your own gig.
Or grab the mic.
Yeah. Or find somebody with the same surname as you.
That's it. Who's your, what's your surname?
Mhlongo. But it's so easy. And then...
Who's the other Mhlongo?
He's not a comedian. He's...
Somizi.
Yeah, Somizi is just a personality, I guess.
Yes, now we know who Somizi is.
I don't know who you are.
Oh, okay. My bad. I thought.
Chris, I want to wish you luck, first of all, for Don't Burn Your Sausage. And I mean that. And then also, I won't see you at the beer festival because I'm doing like LAN corporate events and basically doing Kurt's Comedy Club, which is voted number 9 in the world. By some random guy with a blog.
Oh.
But they got a trophy out of it.
Brilliant. You know what I like? Is the fact that that's a guy who either has or hasn't been to those clubs, but put it up on his thing and said, well, these are the clubs to go to in the world. And good luck to them. Like they're using it as a PR thing.
But I'm going to interrupt you. I have to go again. I've got somebody more important.
Well, don't phone back.
Bye, Dave.
Thanks, Chris Forrest. Goodbye. Now what you do is we go back to this thing. Is it coming through my ears? That's coming through the actual machine.
Yeah.
Okay.
That still sounds cool.
There we go, we're back. Okay. I'm now going to phone someone else.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to. Cheap as
you guys have airtime for days.
Does Gareth Cliff pay me for these fucking calls?
I don't think so.
Okay. So the next guy we're phoning is actually Rabin Hardouf. Do you know him?
No, I don't. I actually saw the name on Facebook this morning.
You saw Rabin's name on Facebook?
Yeah. Suggested. It was suggested.
Hello, Rabin. You're live on the Gas Comedy Podcast. Friday morning, 10 to 10. You're driving?
Yes. I'm driving. I took my kid for vaccination yesterday, but then the lady didn't fill in the chart. So I've got to take him back.
So he got the vaccination, but didn't get the accreditation.
Yes.
Didn't get
I'm going back to go to go, how dare you?
And also, you're married to a lawyer.
And not write down that it was you that hurt him.
So now, listen, did he dig it? Was he confused?
Yeah, it was cool. It's like 15 seconds of, I'm sure he doesn't know what the fuck's going on. But then I go, oh, look, a giraffe. Then he's all good again.
Cool, you are good at distraction. I know your vibe. Yeah. So now, so you got your legal team, which is your wife, made sure that you get that certificate.
Yes. Okay. Well, basically, she's the one that did the pickup. So she was like, oh, very nice to kid. Did you get the paperwork?
It's so funny for an Indian guy. You did a cash deal at the hospital. Hey, you didn't even get an invoice.
Yeah, but this came at the Mall of the South. Okay. That's where you can go. Yeah, if you're on drugs, basically illegal drugs for kids.
Okay, we start off obviously with not such good news. We had a show tonight for your Atlantis Swimming School. It's been postponed.
Unfortunately, one of the organizers passed away. Okay, so they've postponed that gig.
Okay.
So basically all your payments, everyone's money and stuff will just stand over till they get the next available date.
No, worry about payments. Shame. The guy's not there. So what comedians did you have lined up? It's the third time you've done this, hey, or fourth time?
Yes, it's the third year in a row.
Okay.
And we had a great lineup. It was yourself, Chris Forrest, Mojack, Le Hoja, Le Hoko, Richu, KWD, Mattel.
Are you driving in a convertible? Because you're driving through some mud.
No, I'm not driving the convertible. I just have you on speakerphone.
Okay,
and
cool.
Then I'm holding the phone up like I'm about to. I'm holding the phone like it's a slice of pizza, but I'm not biting.
It is, because they can't arrest you if you hold it like, I know what you mean. You're holding it like this.
Yeah.
So they can't arrest you because
like
you're
that,
actually.
Exactly like that. Yeah,
no, I'm
like
going to eat this phone.
Yeah.
There was a guy who made cookies shaped like a phone, and then he would put it on his ear and drive around. And then when the cop came, he just ate the phone. And then the cop, he looks like. You actually made little Nokia cookies. That's how fucking bored people are. But you would do that, yeah, I think.
It's called the iPhone 8.
iPhone 8!
No!
Okay. All right. Now, you. Tell me more about the thing that happened this last weekend.
Oh, yes. I did a thing that was... I'm getting the ticket out the machine here. There we go.
You know what I like? We phoned Brendan Murray, and we phoned Chris Forrest. And you're all way too busy for my podcast. I mean, sorry for this.
He's going to call at 9. Now I was like, no, he's not calling at 9. He's calling at 3.
Sorry. Brendan spoke a lot, and Chris spoke a lot.
Who's Brendan Murray?
He's a comedian, he's an actor, voiceover artist, and he organized all the comedians for the Rocking the Daisies Lemon Tree Theater.
Oh, I know that guy. Yeah, he's a chilled oak.
Chilled guy, lacquer guy as well. He got beaten up by Sivan Gesi in the charity boxing match.
Mm. Wow.
But who hasn't been beaten up by Sivan Gesi?
You're like, why are you beating from your ears? And he goes, for the kids,
for the kids. Okay, tell us about Clarence. Start from the beginning. How did you organize it?
Okay, it took me 3 years to organize it.
Because
I found, like, initially there was just, like, a lot of, like, you know, a little town syndrome. And then I was like, hey, I want to do a comedy festival here.
Little town syndrome, like, I had that once. Okay, you've got 3 minutes to tell us how successful it was.
Okay, so out of the 9 shows that we had originally planned, we played 7 due to venues either pulling out or the rain and the rugby.
I liked it when a venue puts out.
And then venues pulled out. It was my ex-girlfriend's name. She was Russian.
I want to
talk to you now. Stop giving me opportunity to make jokes. I'm trying to give you facts. You're telling me to make jokes. So, yes, it was really good. I think the attendance was... I haven't worked on the final numbers, but I reckon we were close to 65-70% attendance for the shows, which was great for the little comedy festival that could, you know. It was a wing and a prayer, and it was more a case of what's possible instead of what's profitable.
So you're saying you never made money?
I never made money.
Fuck, Rubin, that's not lacquer. You work hard.
No, but you know what's lacquer? What's lacquer is now Free State Tourism is saying, hey, next year, come see us.
Okay.
SAB Miller, who did a small little sponsorship deal with like banners and a little bit of product and stuff like that. They were like, come speak to us or be that's my kid. He was like, come speak to us. He was like, come speak to us before Friday. Before February.
Yeah.
Yes. Speak to us before February. speak to us before Feb, and then we'll put you down on the budget.
Okay, so I would say that the move was smart then. You're a smart move.
I knew that this was a thing. Someone has to just go out there and go, here's a thing. Okay. Like, and I've coined the phrase comedy tourism, because that's kind of what it is.
You know what? It's a niche. Like, no one else is doing it. Don't go see comedy
year where you live. Exactly. Go see comedy by a place that you've never been.
I mean, sex tourism was unknown until maybe the 90s.
Clarence Tourism Forum. Yes. There's a thing called Clarence Tourism Forum that's run by all the people that have all the businesses in the town. And for the most part, well, 80% of it, 90% of it, the two people, Tammy Hancock and Chris Pafanis, they were like, cool. Absolute gems. They were the only ones who were like, do this.
So
there were some, you know, in these towns, there's like little rinky-dink people that's kind of like, I don't know what this means, a comedy. Do they need drums? No, they do not need drums.
But listen, I want to congratulate you. I think you're going to come back into the show again next Friday.
Thank you. Yes, I have to.
Bro, yeah. Don't bring your kid. And I'm playing out with Jim Jeffries talking about Donald Trump. But I want to say thanks to Tabisa for bringing back my book.
You know it, man.
I want to say thanks to you, Rabin. You're progressive, and I dig your stuff.
Thank you very much.
Will the Clarence Festival happen next year?
Yes, but I've got to speak to you because I got a business card because I punted you and you were there.
Oh, yes.
So next year in Feb, you may or may not have a date at the Clarence Beer Festival.
Okay, fantastic. Oh, my God. All right, let's do business on the show.
Man.
Cheers, man.
Thanks, man.
Love you, Rabin. Bye.
Cheers, guys. And to all your guests, I don't know who you are, but well done.
Tell me some Shlongo. Check him out. He's a very funny guy.
Tabisa Mflongo. Tabisa Mflongo. I book him for all my golf days in Krugersdorp.
Amazing, dude. Amazing.
Cheers, Rabin.
Cool, man. Cheers, Dave.
Okay, this is us. Good night, and thank you very much for listening to the Gas Comedy Podcast. Here's Jim Jeffries.
San Francisco and Boston. And everyone's called me a fucking pussy with my liberal agenda. I'm in fucking Nashville right now. And if you want to shoot me, now's the perfect time. There's 8 cameras on me. I think we're good. Yeah. Isn't it sad that the country's gotten to the stage that when you buy theater tickets, you go, all right, get ones on the aisle so we can run. Everyone wanted to get in the middle. We're like, no, you're sitting ducks in the middle. So anyway, Donald Trump. Now, don't get me wrong. He's a lot of fun. There's a little bit of me. There's a little bit of me that when like that thinks, fuck it, let's do it. Let's do it and see how fucking crazy shit can get. Because what happens is he says really simple shit that means nothing, and then fucking dummies, right? If you've ever said this sentence, I like him because he's a straight talker, you're as dumb as shit.
This is CliffCentral.com.